Brother Jeff.
Appreciate Brian leading those songs this morning. Appreciate Mike's reading this morning to kind of get our thoughts centered around love, around agape love specifically this morning. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Named Agape 101, we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. 101 for being kind of entry level, okay, that 100 class. We're going to see if we can get into the 200 class and 300 class a little bit also this morning. But just want to kind of set the tone here for a moment and think about these thoughts. And again, appreciate those songs that were led. I too remember Dave. And the bad thing about mentioning something before the sermon is the person who has the sermon gets to talk about that person. Duly noted. Appreciate the Larsons for many years and many others that are here this morning. To understand and to enhance our relationships, we need agape love. We have to have agape love. Just like we're going to see in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 here in just a few moments. But first, I want to talk about just a couple goals, a couple items that we're going to try to accomplish this morning before we start looking at the text real specifically. First, we're going to talk and look about four different points that Christ makes in this context and in this chapter. He points out in how Christ is able to show and demonstrate agape love. Second, I'd ask that you would please put yourself into this situation. Take a deep breath. Stop, as I'm telling myself, and think about. Put yourself in this situation. Look at this setting that's going on at this time. So that, third, you can ask yourself, what would you do? What would we do? What would we do today? What would we have done then, possibly? And last, I hope that we can again learn something new together. And at the end, we'll have a recap and kind of an overall view of what we've kind of talked about. Let's first define agape love to be sure that we're all on the same page and what we're going to be talking about here. The word agape love is one of the Greek words for love, and it's defined here in the use of this chapter as a decision to act in the best interest of another. It's used approximately 116 times in the New Testament with 106 different verses. As compared to the root Greek word phileo, which is actually used 25 times in about 21 different verses. So we know just from that comparison right there that this is important. This is something that is reiterated over and over and over again. So we hope we got to have it down. We need to have it down as a group of people. We need to have it down as Christians. We need to have it down as individuals in all parts of our lives. It's very important. So we kind of have a setting here that we're going to read in a moment. We've got the definition. Let me give just kind of maybe a few examples, very rudimentary, some of them. But I think it's important to kind of step back for a moment and just look at some things that are very simplistic before we kind of get into that next 200 level, if you will. So an example of agape love of today as a parent, you might have a 2 or 3 year old and you might see, hey, don't touch the hot stove. It might be in your best interest not to touch that stove. You might burn your hand, okay? Child gets a little bit older, maybe 6, 7 years old. You tell Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, you better not ride your bike in the street. That's not a good place to ride your bike. It's probably in your best interest right over here on the side, okay? You're looking out for your children and others that you may know of those age. As they get older, 9, 10, 11 years old, of course, if you haven't already, you're starting to talk to them more about Christ and how much Jesus loves you, how much Jesus loves all of us, and how important that is, okay? As they get older, 11, 12, we might talk more and more about what a Christian is, to become a Christian, 13, 14, what that looks like and how important that is. You're looking out for their best interest. Christ loves you and how important it is for you to love and to follow his commandments. As that goes on, we meet and know other people in our lives on adult levels and we get to know people more and more. We might want to talk to someone that doesn't know Christ. We might tell them how important it is for them to know and to come to Christ and to obey the gospel. The last example, that's one of the hardest for me that I've experienced in my life, is when you have a Christian friend, an unfaithful Christian friend, who might need to return to Christ, someone who's unfaithful and going to them and sharing with them in a true loving way. You're looking out for their best interest. Let's start now by seeing the goal here first and begin kind of with the end in mind. We're going to read verses 34 and 35 that Mike read for us. And again, put yourself in this scene just a little bit and ask, what would you do? How would we react? Which one of the apostles? How would we feel? What's going on here? You know, we step back and we read this thousands of years later and we think, how in the world could that person do that? Why would they do that? I would never do that. I would never be like that person. Would we? Would we think? Hopefully not. Verses 34 and 35, it reads, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also have loved one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Again, the word love here, talking about having love for one another, having that care, having that feeling for one another, but also looking out for one another in their own best interest. According to these verses, again, the disciples are to reproduce this love that God talks about, which God demonstrated when he sent his only son to die for this world. And when we see disciples in action, then and today, the world should see love in action, right? We are here to love, just like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Let's now look at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to go ahead and read this little bit longer reading. Had a hard time trying to find out really where to break it down and stop. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it all here, and I think we'll have the time. It says, Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of the world into the Father, having left his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot and the son of Simon to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments in it, and taking a towel, girded himself about. Then he pouring into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For his reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I gave you the example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. For if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." John chapter 13 here again really provides this example and the nature of this love that we're talking about this morning, which Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and with this example that the disciples were to also follow. Now this is, of course, where this lesson really starts to extend much farther than just a physical washing of feet, right? This is where we're going to go from that 100 to 200 a little bit class, okay? And try to learn something here together. The setting here definitely says a lot about the importance of the incident and what's recorded, but the events of this chapter, of course, were taking place during the Lord's Supper and the night before Jesus was betrayed. So now we have the setting. We know what's taking place. We're going to talk a little about why that is here in a few moments. But we can start just kind of sitting back for a minute and going, wow, okay, is this what Jesus is going to do? Again, this is the night before Jesus was going to be betrayed. It was necessary for him to leave the disciples with a lesson that they would remember. Back in verse 1, what did it say? It said, he loved them to the end, meaning he loved them to the limit, the full extent of love. That's agape love. The full extent, not to this the end of his life, but to the max, okay? To the T. So again, what would we do? Jesus could have given him a hug, a gift, a note. What about another miracle? You've been doing this for 3 years. All the things that you could do before the end of your life, you're going to stop and you're going to wash the disciples' feet. Really just want us to stop for a moment and think about that. What did that look like? Okay? But that's not what he did. He didn't do any of those things, but instead, of course, he took this towel and he washed the disciples' feet and he began to serve those who he loved. But of course, one objected to be showing this type of kindness in verse 6, and that's Peter, as we were talking about just a few moments. What are we like? Would we question this act? Would we be difficult? Or would we allow Christ to wash our feet? Would we be willing to wash someone else's feet here this morning? What would kind of relationship could that change if we had that type of custom? There was other reasons, of course, that was a little bit more familiar of an act then, because that was something that they did during that time. I'm going to get into these 4 points that I was referring to a few moments ago about how Christ demonstrated and showed this agape love. There are a number of different elements of agape love that are, of course, in this specific situation with Christ. We're going to point out, hopefully, 4 this morning that will be beneficial for all of us. First, it demonstrates that the love is a verb. Verse 1 again says, loving his own in the world to the end, he loved them. His love for them was not passive, but it was a demonstrated and an active service. A preview, of course, to the ultimate act that he would be serving on the cross. Agape love is never just the warm feeling part of love. Jesus knew, and only Jesus knew, what the disciples needed at this time, what was in their best interest, which was an active service of graciousness, is what they needed. And sometimes, I know myself, that's what we need too. An active service in a gracious way. Agape love doesn't always move. It does always move. It acts. It serves. It always decides what is in the best interest of another and acts towards the end. And so love is an action. Love is an action. Second, this love is based in a love for God. It wasn't just an arbitrary command, an obedience of a command, or just a best policy. Okay, it was also a fresh command to love that centered around God. It wasn't just necessarily new in age, but it was new in quality. Okay, it was new in quality. The Greek word kainos that's used here is something like our use of our word fresh. Okay, something new, something fresh. There's actually 2 sub-points within this second point, which is in this command to love was new. First, it was historically new because the world had never seen this kind of love. This is a different kind of love. Talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Second, in this point, it was new in that it became the guiding principle of the kingdom. Instead of law, love, in fact, fulfills the law. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, the greatest commandment. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, Romans 13, to love one another hath fulfilled the law. The result of this new commandment to love was to be extended to the enemies. And that's really what was something that was so new that hadn't been seen so much. This was extended to his enemies. It's not just based upon this loveliness of one who is loved. Jesus shows that, of course, by washing the disciples' feet including Judas's feet. Okay? Including Judas's feet. Jesus did this even though he knew Judas was going to betray him and likely knew that ahead of time. And how likely would we today help someone who we knew was about to give false testimony against us that was going to send us to the cross? And he stopped and washed his feet. That's an act of graciousness. He knew this ahead of time, and Judas, of course, was about to betray Christ, which would be one thing that sent him to the cross. Third, the element of agape love here is shown by Jesus is the unselfishness of it. Love gives. Unselfishness. Love gives. There can be no excuse in any, there can be no success in any relationship in which the parties are more concerned with taking than giving. Okay? Read that again. There can be no success in any relationship in which the parties are more concerned with taking than with giving. In the Gospels, we can see Jesus was really trying to root out this selfishness from the disciples here, and in other passages we're familiar with. And we're looking at this, we're stepping back and saying, why is this happening? And for an example, Peter, of course, refuses to be washed by Jesus was a form of selfishness. Okay, and this is why I was saying we kind of read this thousands of years later, and we look at some of these examples, and we say, well, that wouldn't be me. Well, I wouldn't do that. So go back to one of those original questions was, what would we do? What would we do today if someone says, you know what, I threw my back out and I got hurt and I just cannot get my shoes on, I cannot wash my feet, could you come over and do that for me? I don't know, that's not my thing. Let me go get somebody else that kind of might be more comfortable with doing that. I'm kind of busy. We have to kind of put our hat on and think about those types of elements. As Peter refused this, according to Jesus, anything that does not have God around it, of course, is the center, it can be selfish. We have to have God around everything in our lives or it can be formed or become selfish. And fourth, this element of love that Jesus demonstrated was that of service. So as a master teacher, he was regarded as a rabbi, as a great teacher by his disciples, and he wasn't supposed to wash feet, okay? How many rabbis do we read in the Bible, master teachers, that were washing feet? I couldn't find one. And so it wasn't something that he was going to be doing. But normally, this would be something the disciples would have done, they would offer to do. But of course, apparently they were still seeking out who was greater from one another. In Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, of course, James and John are arguing and still trying to figure out which one of us is going to sit next to Christ. That's where they were at. They were looking at that type of selfishness. This is probably why Peter, of course, responded as he did. He was shocked at this disregard of protocol. You're a rabbi. Why are you washing my feet? You're not going to wash my feet. And of course, this was probably on Peter, was probably mixed also with some type of guilt. Some type of guilt for not having offered to wash the feet himself. And again, Jesus knew what was in their best interest. The act of removing selfishness and pride. And again, I know myself, I sometimes think we need that same example. We need to ask ourselves that. Am I stepping back and doing an act of service, being unselfish, and not being like Peter? Christ is looking for servants. He demonstrates the nature of service when he took this towel and began to washing the disciples' feet. And when he was done, of course, hopefully they had learned a real valuable lesson about what it means to have a servant's heart. Having a servant's heart was very important. Love, again, is an extension of oneself to another for the other's benefit. Love is an extension of oneself to another for the other's benefit. So again, what he did on this evening was just, again, a preview of what was about to happen a few hours later when he gave his life for the whole world. All the things that he could have done, the miracles he had performed over the last 3 years, And he stopped and he did this physical act of washing their feet. Again, it was a custom. Their feet were definitely dirty, wearing the sandals and the custom of that time and the culture. But make no mistake, the point stands, doesn't it? Stop for a moment. Now we've kind of looked at these four points. We've set the stage here a little bit. Hopefully we've got our definition down. We've given some more rudimentary examples of what agape love is doing what's the other person's best interest. And then we kind of progressed it to the harder situations of going to a brother or sister in Christ that we're concerned about. Do a little bit of an exercise. I'm going to give you four questions here. And I'd really encourage you to even stop, if you would, if you have a pen and paper out, and just write these down. Because I've tried to follow this, and I know it's been really beneficial for me, as someone showed some of this to me years ago. And it was quite an awakening. The first question I have for you is, list three people who have influenced you in your life in some significant way. List three people that have influenced you in your life in some significant way. Now, let's say on a scale 1 to 5, determine how grateful you are for this person's influence. 5, of course, being the greatest. Okay? And third, answer whether you have communicated your gratitude to this person or not. Again, on a scale 1 to 5, 5 being the most. You've really told this person how much they mean to you and how much they've influenced you. I would submit that if you're below a 3 on that rating, 1 to 5, consider communicating your gratitude to some of those people that you've thought of now. That's one of the things that the disciples could have been doing at this time. And Christ knew it. And that's one of the reasons why he chose to do what he did, because they weren't displaying some of that. Hey, thanks, Peter, for what you did. Hey, thanks, John, for what you did. Hey, thanks, James, for what you did. Christ, thank you for what you've done. We're all in this together. But the negativity, the culture at that time, in the setting of the not the culture of the times, but the culture in the sense of what the vibe was within that group at that moment. They were still fighting who was going to get to sit next to who. Okay? That's what they were more concerned about and saying, stop for a moment. For the last 3 years, we've been all around this area teaching and seeing things and performing and miracles being formed by Christ. We're at the last moment, and you're still fighting amongst one another, and I'm stopping and washing your feet instead of performing another miracle. So when we take this in today, you make this list. Why? Well, one, because that's what we just said, the disciples could have been doing that. They sure could have been showing a lot of their own gratitude. Also, because it will build relationships, it will set an example, it'll keep us humble and kind, and it will build up that other person. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. I love the phrase carpe diem, seize the day. We just never know what the next day may hold. I know I waited. I waited too long with things in my life. I had someone who would have been 71 today, died at 51, and I never really got to tell him how much I really appreciate everything that he did. And there's really not a day that goes by in my life that doesn't haunt me sometimes. And so I encourage us to reach out to one another and communicate those things when we appreciate somebody. The influence that that person gave me to try to be more Christ-like, to show agape love, I know has influenced many others here. But it also goes back to set an example for the next generation. And those that influenced that person and influenced that person and so forth and so on. So back to Christ here. Agape love, is this what we are doing? Okay? Are we using our abilities to enhance our relationships to be more Christ-like, whether it's in the world in our relationships or it's amongst us here this morning? Are we using our abilities to enhance our relationships to be more Christ-like? Start off by asking that question. How can we better understand and to encourage one another in our relationships to watch and see how Christ demonstrated the love, the agape love, and to put ourselves in this situation and to ask, what would I do? What did we see? What can we learn? And what can we share? By showing the humbleness, by showing grace, by showing patience, the more we know each other first, the more we will be able to show this agape love. And then, the better our relationships are with God and with one another, they will be with everyone else, the more that we can show that. And in order to have this oneness, this unity that we need to have, we too need to show this agape love. And then the world will see we too are his disciples, just like we read in verse 34 and 35, right? We should be seen like that in everything that we do in all parts of our life to the best of our ability, because we're going to fail. We're going to fail. And we need to pray, and we need to pray a lot. But if we're showing this agape love, we're building our relationships, enhancing things, using the abilities that God has given us, learning from the scripture here, and we can see that love is active, it's not passive. Are we? Love is centered around God, not us. Love is unselfish. Are we? Love is a humble service, and that's what we need to be doing. The Gospels, of course, are full of examples that show this type of agape love. Christ did here what was in the best interest by showing these type of attributes that we've pointed out this morning. And kind of going back to the goals at the beginning, the first two questions again, is, could we learn something? Is there something here that hopefully has been pointed out that we can say, okay, I've studied that before, but can I apply it differently today? Can I go about it and actually exercise something in some situation possibly? And then again, what would we do today? Group of people coming together with love, with agape love, is important to grow. Book of John goes on in chapter 14, it goes on to talk about keeping God's commandments. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And very possibly, if we're not, we may be living in unrepented sin in situations that we're not doing what we should be. John 15, though, goes on and says, if you are keeping my commandments, you'll be bearing fruit. That can be a beautiful thing. If we are doing his commandments, we are showing those attributes and those abilities, we will show and bear fruit. John 17 goes on and talks about God and Christ are one, and so we are to be one also. If you're wanting to show this agape love to Christ by acting on it, you'll have that chance here in just a few moments. But this is a part where I mentioned again at the beginning that we would stop, and we've asked these questions, we've kind of displayed and given this exercise of questions, we've set the stage. Now, what about today, right? We're studying right now in Ecclesiastes, LUTs, life under the sun. What and how can we apply it today? So ways to improve and to apply some of these principles. As a recap here, the first one was acts of service with grace. We know we don't want to be like Peter. But Peter's written about a lot, isn't he? And there's a reason why he's written there, because there's something there to learn. It's not just there by accident. God knew thousands of years ago, and then some, that us today would have this similar type of problem. So let others help you. Don't be prideful and selfish. We want to allow things. How can we do that? Well, maybe we can offer to help someone before we even asked. Isn't that neat that someone comes up to you and offers something to do for you before you even have to ask them? And it might be something that folks know about, but just offer. That's a servant's heart, right? That's a servant's heart. Going to folks and doing things just because you know you want to do them. That's an act of service. Lots of different ways to do that. And of course, if you're a recipient of that act, it's hard to receive, isn't it? It's hard to receive. Let that person do something for you. Let that person do something for you if they're offering. There's lots of examples we can sit this morning here and think about. There's a way to host classes. There's sign-up sheets in the back right now that need people for next month. There's ways to volunteer for teaching. There's classes that need to be taken care of. There's food that needs to be made for people. There's a lot of acts of service on all different levels of agape love. Second, we talked about acts of godly agape love and quality of freshness. This extends to everyone who we know. This extends to everyone who we know. That means including our enemies, just like Christ did to Judas. He washed all the disciples' feet. It doesn't say he washed all the disciples' feet except Judas. He did all of their feet. So this love extends to everyone. So even if someone does wrong to us, let it go. forgive, and move on. Let go. Let God help us. How can we do some of these things? Well, maybe when someone is weak, someone needs help in a spiritual way or a physical way, we would just want to help them. Help them in some way without judging the situation, possibly. It might be something we don't agree with in appearance or decisions or life choices or a style or attendance. We have to stay positive, though. That's not the time where we need to be negative. That's the time when we need to reach out and show that quality love to each other. Someday, Lord willing, we'll all be in heaven together. And so here today, we need to be sure that we're showing these type of attributes and these type of qualities, this type of newness, just like Christ showed. Then we talked about acts of unselfishness. Give, don't always take. Read that sentence twice. Give, don't always take. That's agape love. How? Let others go first. Don't always be first. Let somebody else choose first. We don't always need to correct each other, and sometimes we just have to be willing to pray, trust, and care. Pray, trust, and care. Being unselfish in all different parts of our lives is very important. That's how the world will see that we are disciples of God. And last, we talked about the acts of service with humbleness. Not always thinking that we need to share our opinions or think that we're right with different things, but to share the love, share the agape love. Again, talked a few moments ago about having the opportunity to make good on this agape love to Christ, this act of service, this active show of love. And as we end the sermon this morning, ask someone, if you want to take part in that, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, if you'd like to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to repent of your sins and be baptized, as we can read in Acts chapter